It's season 2 with a bonus episode of The Wrestling Show. Tonight, we take a look at the Monopoly of Wrestling. That's right, AEW special event called Full Gear. Next, we move to the WWE with their tribute to the troops.
Wellbo, welcome to the channel, viewer, listener. This is, in fact, a very special episode. This is the bonus episode. I am your host, Alip, a.k.a. Tetsu Omega. And this is The Wrestling Show. Now, what makes this, episode so special and bonusy? That's right, this is a special event brought to you by both AEW and the WWE. But for first, we're going to take a look at the AEW, their event called Full Gear. Clocking in almost at 4 whole hours of crazy length of wrestling. 9 matches in 4 hours. It's lots to ask. Starting off with the match of the night, of course. I think this is a match of the night, even though there's nothing on the line. Nothing on the line, except the dignity of two wrestlers. They've been building this one up for a couple of months, I suppose. You know, Maxwell Jacob Friedman versus Darby Allin. That's right. Now this one, of course, the winner doesn't get anything. Loser doesn't get anything besides a thing on your scorecard, I suppose. So, with Maxwell Jacob Friedman, he comes into the ring first. He has cuts a nice promo. You know, the promo being that he's going to win the match with a headlock takeover because he's that much better of a wrestler than Darby Allin will ever be. Now, will that actually happen or not? Who knows? But one thing for sure, this match was exciting. This was for the crowd. They kept it pretty much contained within the ring. That's why I think this is probably the best match. It's like most like wrestling. Long, although it's very large moves, big moves, taking out a lot of finishers, a lot of pinning sequences in this match. You know, the first one, the next one being better than the next. You know, there's like, I think, 4 long pinning sequences. You know, very exciting indeed. But it seems that Maxwell Jacob Friedman is the bigger wrestler. You know, it is a heavyweight versus a cruiserweight. You know, so MJF took control of the match mostly, even though it doesn't really matter size in AEW. You know, you can ask, Spanish God there. So we'll move on. So what happens is Maxwell Jacob Friedman rolls out the ring, right, to grab a skateboard to go back in with, to perhaps smash Darby Allin with the ring with the skateboard. But instead of smashing Darby Allin, he gives the skateboard to him. To expect to be smashed himself, he kneels down to accept the skateboard shot. You know, it's like, I've out-tricked you. You've made you upset. Now you're going to want to smash me for it, and I'm willing to accept it for the win. Anything for the win. But Darby Allin wouldn't have any of it. He will go, you know, do a rise above that. Your anger doesn't mean anything to me, MJF, and I will beat you legitimately. Whatever that means in the AEW, I don't know. So he gives the, instead of throwing the skateboard aside, instead of tossing it out the ring, he gives it to the ref, Bryce, who in turns his back onto everything. Because his main mission now, Bryce's only goal, is to make sure that skateboard finds it safely out the ring to the hands of somebody who cares. So he turns around, making sure that full safety that this skateboard will not be taken from him. Not by anybody he doesn't want. So while he's doing that, this tedious thing that he must do, MJF loads up his hand with that his mighty ring that he has. And with a whack, he punches. That's right, Darby Allin didn't expect this one. No way. Why would Darby Allin expect any cheating from MJF? So he whacks him one. And like CM Punk in the first match, in his, which later on you find, he whacks him one in the head, leaving Darby Allin unconscious on his feet. So when the ref turns, by the time when the ref turns around, MJF has already gave him a headlock, and then he throws him over. Wham! Headlock takeover for the pin. 1, 2, 3. MJF with a huge victory. What's going to be next for MJF? I don't know. Is there any building on where he's going to go after all? He has that ring. What else do you need? What else do you need when you got that ring, right? So will the pinnacle carry on? What's the pinnacle these days? I don't think MJF cares really to carry an entire, organization on his shoulders. I think he's sick of that. Pinnacle is in and out whenever they want. Who knows who's in the pinnacle these days? But what do you know for sure? Maxwell Jacob Friedman walked out with a big victory, that he suggested he'd win by a headlock takeover, which he did. Talk to fruition. MJF. One of the best in AEW, which is under... I don't think people in AEW like him. What's going to be? People cheer for Maxwell? No. I do. Which brings us to a tag team match. Is it Lucha Bros, Rey Fénix, and Penta Zero? This one. And just so you know, Penta was there. Doink 2.0 didn't take his place this time. Thank goodness. This means they're going to win. Versus FTR, the Triple A champions. Triple A. Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler. Now, they call this a tag team match, but really it's not. It's like anything really goes match. Like most of what AEW is and Impact. And, this is just like... There's no rules, really. They tag every now and then, but it doesn't make any sense why they tag now and then and not tag other times. It makes no sense. There should be a lot of disqualifications but this is the AEW world, This is not NXT UK. So what bothers me a lot is Cash Wheeler. He just walks in anytime he wants. He just charges in. Oh, I'm going to do something. What does that... I don't understand that. And then these guys are champions. These guys have been around for a long time. Clearly, Cash Wheeler does not... He doesn't think that Dax can carry anything. So he doesn't trust Dax in doing anything properly by himself. Because the only time Lucha Brothers came in, had double teams, is when Cash and Dax came in. It's a team. So it was they did a lot of cheating. They did a lot of double teaming. They don't understand what tag team's about, really. But what it was entertaining. It was a stunt show. Which I talk about now and then. But this style of match solidifies that AEW's tag and shows matches are basically a wrestling stunt show. Now, that's, you say, well, a wrestling stunt show, that's great. Yeah, it is great. But is it really a sporting event, or an athletic event like AEW? Like NXT UK personifies what it is. WWE is a borderline of stunt show and athletic event. It's like World Wrestling Entertainment. So they're struggling. But clearly, AEW's picked a side. And they're sticking with it. And this match is a pure example. But even going even further, this is another example of pure entertainment in the singles side. Bryan Danielson versus the Redeemer, Miro. Now, the backstory in this, the Miro had lost his TNT, the corporate championship, to Sammy Guevara. That's right, Sammy Guevara is now the new corporate champion. So he lost that, so now he let his gods down. He's been... So he's now has to make it up for his gods. So now this match here is for the right for the number one contendership to the AEW World Championship, the Heavyweight Championship. At this time, currently held by Kenny Omega. But having a fight later on, what's going to happen? Who knows? But this match was a long match. It was brute force versus wrestling. You know, big moves, high moves. You know, a lot of big spots in this match. You know, it's Daniel Bryan and Miro giving them their all in the ring. You know, hard hitting, big spots, a lot of kick out of pins. But this is what they say about Miro. His gigantic, thick-ass neck with his traps. He practically has no neck, Miro. He practically doesn't even have a neck. It's like he's got so much muscle there, it's ridiculous. But they say that's his weak spot. That's his Achilles heel. Unlike his heel, which is not, apparently. The Achilles heel is anybody's Achilles heel, because it's called the Achilles heel. Now, to stop talking about that, I'm talking about his neck now. So apparently that's a soft spot, and unlike every wrestler whose neck is their soft spot, his one is particularly the softest of the spots. So now to finish off the match, they take it to the top rope. DDT off the top rope, Daniel Bryan gets that. It's a weird floppity DDT. Miro takes it on his, I don't even think he nearly lands on his head. But he, according to script, he landed on his head. And then he gives him a front face lock, you know, to win the match. Daniel Bryan going on to challenge the champ for the championship, the AEW championship. Currently owned by Kenny Omega, the president and CEO of, that's right, AEW. And speaking of presidents and CEOs, we got the Young Bucks teaming up with their best friend, that's right, Adam Cole, baby, versus Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and I guess honorary member of the Jurassic Express, Christian Cage, or new de facto leader of the Jurassic Express, Christian Cage. But where's Marco Stunt these days? Who knows? Does anybody care? I care. Why? I don't know. He hasn't been wrestling in Dynamite or Rampage in like over a year. Who knows? I don't watch Dark, so he could be on Dark. I don't know. But he wasn't here. But they call this match here a Falls Count Anywhere Trios Tag Match. And I'm throwing air quotes in here, because the only thing it is, it's a Falls Count Anywhere match. But apparently, according to AEW, Falls Count Anywhere match means street fight. Falls Count Anywhere. And it did. They took the Falls Count Anywhere to a new level. They fought it in the audience. They fought it on everywhere beside the ring. Well, they had some spots in the ring, but not much. So this was basically, I think this whole thing was the story of Jungle Boy, from boy to man, you know, learning some hard lessons from Christian Cage. Early on in the match, he had the chance to win it. Christian Cage set up a concerto, you know, for why it is just a falls count anywhere. But inside the ring, inside the center of the ring, concerto was set up for Christian Cage. But Christian wanted Jungle Boy to finish it off. He's like forcing Jungle Boy with the concerto. Finish it off, Jungle Boy. I have faith in you. You can do it. You can be a man now. This is your time to man up. But Jungle Boy thought something really bad about that. Maybe he shouldn't win that way, so he didn't. And it got, the clique, super clique, back on track. And for a long time, they fought for a long more time. Outside, inside, everywhere. Side, Jungle Boy, Jurassic, Luchasaurus. Yes, it was quite the wrestling show, you know, stunt show. And finally, at the end, it was Christian Cage got to think Nick or Matt Jackson on a ring, on the ramp to the wrestling ring. Set up for another concerto. This time, he wants to do it himself. But no, Jungle Boy steps in thinking, no. This time, I've learned my lesson. Time for me to step up to be an adult, a man. Jungle Man. You can call me Tarzan. Matt Perry. So, Jack Perry. So, you have, he finished it off. he does it. Concerto for the victory. So they move on. Who knows? Maybe they might challenge FTR for the AAA belt. I don't see them challenging Death Triangle. They're like, they don't really have good guys fighting good guys. You know, they're like old school wrestling, you know, bad guys and good guys, faces and heels. Oh my. You know. So moving on, speaking of faces and heels, this is a match of heels. You know, all heels here. We got a bunch of heels. Even Cody Rhodes, if he likes it or not, he's also a heel. He tries to think he's a hero, but he's a face, he's not. People don't like Cody Rhodes. So it is a tag team match for some reason. They made this a tag team match. It should have really been a fatal four-way or some sort that they can fight each other. Now, the tag is pack is with Cody Rhodes only because they have individual feuds with their opponents, Malakai Black and Andrade El Idiolo. They just have feuds with each other, but even these two don't like each other. Pac and Cody Rhodes, they don't like each other. And then they showed it early on in the match. You know, how they'd tag each other in. Even though So they tag each other in a lot. And they don't like it. And then next thing you know, Malakai and Andrade don't like each other. And it became a very confused match. Like all AEW matches, very confused. But they did a lot of wrestling in it. A lot of wrestling was done in this stunt show. A lot of wrestling in this show was done to cheer the crowd. But of course, you know, not many people were booing. You know, there's just so much booing to go along. I mean, so at the end, when it finally did finish, it was Pac getting a win for Cody Rhodes with the black arrow on Andrade. Andrade El Idiolo. So then moving on. Nothing happened after the match, thank goodness. Like they usually have people running in. So next up, we finally have a Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, with her receptionist and assistant. Assistant Jamie Hayter and Rebel. You know, the practice, they call them. The practice as a team. They're called the practice. I coined it. They're probably not going to use it now. But the practice with Jamie, Dr. Britt Baker versus, of course, Dark Order. She represents. It's Tay Conti for the championship match, which I probably said before. So now this was, it was marred by interference and bad reffing. These refs don't really matter in these things. It was basically a 3-on-1 match, basically. But it was hard-hitting. Tay Conti put her best foot forward. You know, it was they put her all in the ring. But when it came down to it, it was Kim, I believe it was Hayter cheating. Rebel causing distraction. Ref going, what's going on? I should go there because someone's going to cheat. And it did. It happened. So it happened, and Tay Conti walks out the loser. She might have a chance of winning the Corporate Women's Championship, after all. The TBS Championship is not uncrowned yet, and they're going to give some lucky woman in the AEW. So while we know this, Dr. Britt Baker is the champion. She's been champion for quite a long time, and she will be continued being the champion for a long time more, at least into 2022, but I can see also 2022 being Dr. Britt Baker's year. That's right. How else are you going to get Adam Page? Or Adam Cole, I should say. So here's a winner. And thank you to her practice for the big victory. Retaining the AEW, the only belt that matters in the Women's Championship, the only rep in the Women's Division in the AEW. Moving on. Now, people are getting restless during this time. It's been a long time now. This is, I believe, match number 7. Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk. Now, this got the crowd riled up again. The people were just, oh my goodness, the energy that they were giving this team, this duo in the ring here was quite a lot. it all started huge with the back fist by, Eddie Kingston gives the CM Punk a back fist before the bell even rings, knocking his lights out, almost knocking him out. The super duper cell by CM Punk. But no, he had the energy to carry on. And he did. He carried on and he fought hard. And not too long, but like 5-7 minutes into the match, I suppose. And this is a very long match too. 5 or 7 minutes into it. They take the match outside, the fight outside of the ring. Things happened out there. Eddie Kingston goes back into the ring. Camera follows him in. It only means that one thing. Somebody's under the ring, blading themselves. Adding color to the match. And it was CM Punk bleeding like a stuffed pig. That's right. Bleeding. But this was a huge match. You know, back and forth like they do. Big moves. Big finishers. Kicking out of stuff. You know. But I found one thing. It's like the crowd turned on CM Punk. I guess, I don't know. Maybe the match was too long. Maybe he was doing... he was getting some serious boos in this match. CM Punk. It started with the energy so high, and then the energy got negative before the end of the match. I think maybe it's this when he start doing this, the MMA moves, the cravat, and the knees to the face. I think that maybe, I don't know. But his MMA career is far from stellar. You know? But I don't know. They turned on CM Punk, but at the end, it was, of course, CM Punk with the victory. You know, to go to sleep on Eddie Kingston. Poor Eddie. Poor Eddie. You know, Eddie Kingston, he's got some great, he brings to the table some great mic skills, intensity. His fighting skills inside the ring is memorable. His matches are just, you know, he has a lot of passion in this thing. But CM Punk calls him lazy in their promos, you know, and he is lazy. You know, outside the ring, inside the ring, he's God. You know, he controls the match. He's great, but he looks like a sack of mashed potatoes and in a singlet. You know, I mean, he's wrestle ready. He can go, but just imagine if Eddie Kingston trained 100% rather than treating it as a side gig. That would be amazing, I think. So in the end, CM Punk did get the victory. After a long, hard match, long match, people just stopped caring for this one. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality of what it is. They hope for the best, you know. So next up, this is a slow burn. Now, this is the American Top Team. Now, instead, they want to change AEW. But instead of going for the top of the ladder, you know, the people who matter, this is they're going like the All Elite at the time. Right now, you know, it's the top of the chain. But it's basically Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle they're going after. I don't know, this seems, it's just like two redundant things going on. But right now, after the American Top Team, they picked Adam Lambert, the coach and trainer and leader of the, I don't know, American Top Team, be in this fight, 5-on-5. So the Inner Circle picks their entire thing. You got yourself Chris Jericho, leader, Jake Hager, best friend, Sammy Guevara, the TNT, the corporate champion, Santana and Ortiz, you know, pride and powerful, apparently, dressed as, they got the makeup, you know, they do what they do. I'd make fun of them because they look like silly people. Versus American Top Teams, now headed up by Dan Lambert, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, Men of the Year. No offense, Moth, you know, Leo Rush, Men of the Hour. These guys are Men of the Year, and they've been that before he showed up here. So what are you going to do, sucker? And then Andre Arlovski and Junior Ortiz in this whole match. This was the street fight. You got to, it's inside the ring, so you know they got to keep it contained at least inside. But they really didn't. In the beginning of the match, they kind of did. They all stepped in their corner. They all stepped in the corner one at a time. They took turns wrestling, you know, tagging in proper tags. Until of course Dan Lambert came in. You know, when they finally Dan Lambert felt comfortable coming in, being tagged in the ring, legitimately. He comes to the ring, and then that's when everything takes over, that no, Chris Jericho is can still beat you up because you're not a fighter, you know. And it's planned that way. So then that's when it became a street fight. Everybody came in and did their thing, resting outside. It was, everything goes, obviously, the street fight, except you got a pin inside the ring. So, I guess it had the perfect referee in there. You know, Aubrey was a referee, and she's perfect for this match. She's just, you know, she doesn't have to worry about turning her back, because she doesn't have to anymore. Anything happened. So, who's going to get the pin? It's going to be Dan Lambert. He gets the pin. With the big fashion, Chris Jericho ends it. On the non-fighter. And thank goodness for that, then we got ourselves a winner. But before they can exit, we got ourselves a newcomer to the AEW, All Elite Wrestling. Straight from Ring of Honor. Now, is Ring of Honor part of the, you know, the monopoly that is AEW? With the AEW, AAA, New Japan, Impact Wrestling all being under the umbrella of AEW, I believe. Because, you know. So he enters the AEW, and he has got a challenge he wants. He's got his eye on, that's right, the corporate championship belt. He wants the TNT championship belt from Sammy Guevara. He challenges. Will he accept? Who knows? But next, we've got a nice, beautiful segment. It's Hangman, Adam Page. He wants to talk with the his friends, his CEOs, and, you know, the Young Bucks, Nick Matt Jackson. But first, Adam Cole had to leave, so he's upset. They get face-to-face. Really, really intense stare-down for some reason. So Nick Matt just gets rid of Cole, and where Adam Page, Hangman, talks about, gets real about the past and how he let them down, and they let him down, you know, they cheat on. So right now, he calls it even Steven. We're all even now. We did some shitty stuff together, but hey, I think this is it. We're good, right? We're okay. We're even, Steven. Like, I keep on repeating myself. Which leads us to the main event. It is for the AEW World Championship match and the main event of the night. Adam Page versus the world champion for a long time holding. Once upon a time, trio. Hold three belts. Now, just a one. Actually, I'm not sure if he's, what happened to the AAA belt, you know, he used to hold. But this time it's for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. This goes for a while. This match, you know. But what are you going to do? But Young Bucks come down to the ring near the end of the match. You know, you would think that they're going to help good old Kenny Omega get the victory. But instead, they give the nod to, that's right, it's cheesy. They give the nod to, what's his name, Hangman Adam Page. It's like, you're good, bro. We're good. We're not going to cheat. We're going to be good people now for this match for some reason. So they do. And Hangman gets the old buckshot off. Whammo! Whammo! Gets the pin on Kenny Omega. New AEW champion, Kenny Omega. Now his first title defense, technically, theoretically, is against Bryan Danielson. After all, he did win the thing. But now it does make sense that if Kenny Omega is champion, that means would make sense now. Maxwell Jacob Friedman can now challenge for the belt. Because it's good guy, bad guy thing. You know, good guy, bad guy.
Next up, we go on to the WWE Universe with the tribute to the troops.
Thank you. That's right. WWE's big show for the troops, of course, is for the troops. It's something fun. Not meant to be a huge, spectacular event. It's just a thank you. A thank you to who fight for the country of the United States of America. Which is a nice gesture, I suppose. Of course, it's always a nice gesture. Now we have three matches in this. Two of them is for the championship. It is for the Raw and SmackDown championship. The third one is a women's match. Not in that order. But the women's championship match do not have either champions up for grabs. So that's weird. But you know what? I think in a WWE, they shouldn't really have a women's tag team championship. They should get rid of that. That's ridiculous because they can't keep a tag team together. They should keep bringing two different belts from for SmackDown and Raw. You know? Like strong style, luchador style, you know, a wrestling style, like a pure wrestling style. You know? I mean, you can't really put a weight limit on the women's championship because that's just kind of silly. So you got to have some stipulation type thing. What the represents, you know, if it's not representing the company, it's representing a style. I think they got to get rid of the tag team belt because it's useless. I mean, they don't really have tag teams in the women's division, really. They can put two girls together and call it a tag team, but they're not a tag team. Okay, now we move on to. That's right. Tribute to the troops. Starting off with Jillian Anderson. Or Lillian Anderson. Lillian Garcia. Now that I mumble that out. Lillian, it's right on the screen too. I can't even read that. Lillian Garcia. Belting out. That's right. America the Beautiful. You know, so, that was beautiful rendition. Starting off the show. And then we kick it off with our first match. It's the World Championship match. It is... Of course, Big E Langston putting his belt on the line against Dolph Ziggler with Robert Roode back there looking over. Now, this was a smaller event. It was all for show, you know. Big E showing a lot of personality, Robert Roode and, you know, Dolph Ziggler putting on a show. It was all fun, you know. Big E comes out with a big old win. Big fat win, big ending on Dolph Ziggler. But not to finish that, leave the crowd all like, oh, that's it, okay, Robert Roode came in the ring to try and take out Big E. But again, with the Big E, the big finisher, big ending, Big E puts down Robert Roode as well. Looking like a powerful champion, Big E Langston. Next, we move on to the women's match. It is Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan. Now, this is sort of random. They don't really have a feud going on, you know. There could have been Dewdrop, you know, fighting here for a big thing. They can start carrying on their feud. This could have been basically a non-starter for them too. But they had Liv Morgan. Nothing wrong with Liv Morgan, I gotta say. Whom I say, I don't know about anybody else, but I think personally, Liv Morgan is the most beautiful woman in all of not just WWE, but probably wrestling itself. She is, now Carmella claims she's the most beautiful woman in wrestling, or the WWE, but it is in fact Liv Morgan. So this match was fun. It was a match of the night for me, back and forth. Liv Morgan looked like she could have pulled it off a few times, making it look like Bianca could actually lose this match. So Liv Morgan, even though she did lose in the end, you know, it was a fun match. I'm not sure when what's happening with Liv. Maybe she's gonna find her new angle soon. Who is Liv Morgan? She's a chameleon right now. She's this, she's that, she's this, she's that. I like her different outfits; they're fun. But if she can find a trajectory where she can go, a good path of who's Liv Morgan, path of Liv Morgan. Now, I've seen Liv Morgan many times in Up, Up, Down, Down. And Liv Morgan on Up, Up, Down, Down is playful, quirky, fun, you know, with not a care in the world, you know. That is a Liv Morgan I like to see in this. Maybe she can amp it up. But that Liv Morgan is so fun and playful. And you're so crazy attractive, too. So there's a lot of stuff you can get away with. It's weird to say that, but attractive people do get away with a lot of stuff that ugly people don't, you know, get away with more rude behavior, I suppose. But does she play on that? But I'd say Liv Morgan can go far. She has a great naturally has a great personality. She's just got to bring it to the ring somehow. Transfer who she is, amp it up. I don't know. At least that's what I see on Up, Up, Down, Down. I don't know anything anywhere else from her. Okay, so we got our main event. Our main event match. Now, of course, this is going to be Roman Reigns, our champion, for a long time. And a long time coming, because I don't see anybody challenging Roman Reigns for the belt. Seriously. In the SmackDown. For a while. He could hold it for another year, at least. You know? Versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs by side. And Paul Heyman by Roman Reigns' side. Now, it was a great interest for both. Oh, my goodness. Of course, Roman Reigns. It's a 5-minute intro. They threw commercial breaks and a lot of shots to the troops and stuff like that. Shinsuke Nakamura with the Rick Boogs, rocking man. I know AEW tried to do that, too. They had, Fozzy's main guitarist come in to guitar up, I think, Britt Baker's entrance, something like that. Just guitaring it up. It's like, wow, that's a lot like Rick Boogs. I mean, wow. Can you rip it off any harder? So, now, a lot of people might think this would be a squash match. Roman Reigns would squash Shinsuke Nakamura. But a lot of people don't know that Shinsuke Nakamura actually went head-to-head against Brock Lesnar and did very well against Brock Lesnar. So this is no difference. And besides, Roman Reigns almost lost to Xavier Woods. King Woods. King Xavier, I should say. King Xavier almost beat Roman Reigns last week. You know, but it wasn't for the Usos to come in to help out. But this match was no difference. Every time, near the end, when Roman Reigns would have the advantage, Rick Boogs would chime in with his guitar, a nice guitar solo, entertaining the crowd, distracting Roman Reigns. Roman gets upset. He looks to him like, I'm going to beat you up. Paul Heyman's like, no. Let's keep our cool head and focus on our problem at hand at Shinsuke Nakamura. So he does, he works on that. And later on, Shinsuke, Rick Boogs starts again playing guitar. And then the Usos, the Bloodline Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso come in and take out Shinsuke Nakamura. So they take out Shinsuke Nakamura, take out Rick Boogs. Shinsuke comes out. So, yeah. So Rick Boogs is all playing his music. The Usos come out, take out the Rick Boogs. Shinsuke comes out. From distraction, he's taken out. So he comes out, takes out the Usos, right? And then, of course, Roman Reigns takes full advantage. Now they're outside. Roman comes up outside, jumps on a staircase. Whammo! A big old, Superman punch. Rolls him in the ring. Spear. The double finale. Roman Reigns with a big finish. The Bloodline and Roman Reigns celebrate their huge win over Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Now, I can see Roman Reigns carrying on with the championship for a long time. But what about Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs? They are intercontinental champion. I think they should redefine. I always say this. Shinsuke and Rick Boogs should redefine what the intercontinental champion should be. I think it should be defended anywhere. Like he can challenge going to another show like NXT UK, NXT, to go there and challenge anybody he wants. Because it's intercontinental, right? And can travel anywhere. That's what I think. But this has been a shorter episode of The Wrestling Show. The bonus episode. Hopefully it's all right. I think it is. Good enough now. So I've been your host, Lip, aka Tetsu Omega, and catch us on the usual time with the regular shows, SmackDown, Raw, NXT, NXT UK, AEW's Rampage, and Dynamite. Be coming out on Sundays. So catch me then on Spotify and YouTube, stuff like that. Different podcasts. Nevertheless, I'm Tetsu signing off.